Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to Daniel, the second chapter of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. It was troubling him tremendously, could not sleep. He wanted to know what the dream was. The dream even went from him. He asked the magicians and the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, to interpret it, not only to interpret it, but give him the dream and then interpret what it said. They, of course, could not do this, and he made an order to slay them all. They was all going to be killed. Daniel was told this, and Daniel wanted to know why they were so hasty, and he asked for time to be able to give them the dream and the interpretation of it. He went into his house, and they had a prayer meeting. And him and his friends, three friends, had a prayer meeting. We find as we're going to start to read in verse number 19, we find after that, I told you, I think it was last week we preached on this, I told you after the prayer meeting, they began to praise God and thank God for giving it to them, the interpretation, the dream and the interpretation. Begin to give glory to God where it belongs, amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start picking up our reading there at verse 19. If you please, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Then was the secret, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretations. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon the bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretations to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today we certainly thank you for the blessed book, the Word of God, the Bible. Thank you for this sweet, precious Bible that we have before us. Thank you. It's thy Word. And Lord, tonight we've had the privilege to read just a small portion of it. But tonight, Lord, we need your power and your wisdom as we preach. We ask you, Lord, to help us. Give us the wisdom, the power to deliver this message that you've given unto us. You've appointed us to preach tonight. And Lord, this preacher asks you for your help. And Lord, once again, I ask you to take your word and use it to your glory and your honor. And Lord, when we walk away from this place tonight, we'll be glad, we'll be thankful. It'll have been good to be in the house of God because of your presence. Thank you now in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. We pray this. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight. I've entitled the message, Empty, Clean, and Willing. We'll get down the road here a little ways. We'll find out why I entitled it that. But Empty, Clean, and Willing. I want one lesson tonight for us to get. I think it's important we understand the truth. If you look at Daniel, and we've been looking at him for a few weeks here in the first chapters of the book of Daniel, one of the things I think we need to understand is this. God does not reveal his secrets or his spiritual wisdom to unspiritual people. He found a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was a man of God. Daniel was willing to be used of God. Daniel was a man who had emptied himself of himself and had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was clean. And he was willing to be used of God. That's the kind of people that God's going to reveal spiritual wisdom to. There's not a person upon the face of the earth that does not need the wisdom of God. I need it. You need it. He doesn't reveal the wisdom of God to us just as a game or for fun. There's always a purpose and a reason for him revealing to us his wisdom. He does that to people who are empty, clean, and willing to be used of God. I don't know what I would do, and I don't know what any preacher would do as he gets ready to preach to his people if it was not God who revealed to him what to say and what to preach. I really don't. I don't know. What would you do when you're responsible to preach the Word of God? You're responsible to bring a message that's supposed to be a blessing and a help to the people of God. How can you do that unless God is in it? How can we? We need to have a spiritual attitude toward the Word of God. We need to accept it as the Word of God. Not a portion of it, not part of it, but all of it. It is God's Word. We've got to have the attitude of not taking it and throwing aside that which we do not want and putting it aside. No, we've got to be willing to accept all of God's Word as the Word of God. And we've got to have an attitude that that's what we want to hear and that's what we want to believe and that's what we want to apply to our lives. For that's what it is. That's what growth in Christ is. It's taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives. I've told you, in our life, I'm no example. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm just telling you, in our life, what Donna and I has tried to do in our family life is learn what God wanted for family and put it into action. Have we always made that completely and fully? I doubt that. But I want to say is what we believe, that when you raise a family, you want to raise a family for the glory of God, you take the Word of God, you apply it to your life, and let that go into your children's lives, and you build a family for God. You do the same thing with a church. This church does not need some entertainment. They need the Word of God. Now that's what you need, whether you think you need that or not. That's what you need. You need the Word of God. The only way you're going to have completely a spiritual attitude or a spiritual life that is pleasing to God is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, hang on there with me. It's only then, only can you really live for God and listen to God and understand the Word of God if you're filled with the Spirit of God. I want to ask a few questions. How many here think that Bible study is necessary to have a close walk with God? If you believe that, would you just raise your hand? You believe that Bible study is needed for a close walk with God. Thank you very much. How many believe that prayer is a necessity for a close walk with God? How many believe that? Thank you. How many think it's necessary to be obedient to God to have a close walk with God? To mind Him? Okay, thank you. Now let me ask you another question. How many this week studied your Bibles? Now, you really don't have to lift your hand, but thank you. You really don't have to. But listen, we believe that we must study our Bibles to have a close walk with God. How many in your heart right now did you read and did you study your Bible this week? You all said, and I believe it, and you're all truthful, that it's a necessity to have prayer in your life. You must talk to God. You must have a prayer life. How many had a prayer life this week? How many prayed? Folks, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to get you to understand something. We want to say that we have a close walk with God. We don't read our Bibles. We don't study our Bibles. We don't pray. You tell me how you can have a close walk with God if you don't study your Bible and you don't pray. Now, how many, when God spoke to you this week, was obedient to Him? What you found in the Word of God, what God said, did you try to apply it? Or did you apply it to your life? Was you obedient to the Lord? Now, we've already said it takes that to have a close walk with God. Okay? I'm just trying to let you understand some things. It isn't going to work. Now, you can say, I'm wise, I'm full of wisdom, I have wisdom. You don't have a close walk with God, you are not wise, and you are not full of wisdom. It's impossibility to be. Understand? We must do those things that are simple. Let me say to our Sunday school teachers, and I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers. But if you did not study your Bible this week, I'm not just talking about studying your lesson. You've got to study your lesson good and deep. You've got to know what it says before you can stand before a class and teach it. If you did not pray this week, if you were not obedient to God this week, how in the world can you say you have a close walk with God and you ought to be standing in front of a Sunday school class teaching? Amen? How about we as, we might refer as officers of the church? If the pastor of the church, if the deacons of the church, if those who help make decisions that the pastor looks to for leadership and help in making decisions for the church, how in the world, if you do not read your Bible, study the Word of God, and pray and obey God, how can you in any way make any decision? For the decisions that need to be made in this church are spiritual decisions. Oh, we've got a lot of the other decisions to make, physical decisions, but they all come from the spiritual. What is best for this church for the glory of God? And we need spiritual people to do that. When I ask for help from our deacons, the pastor is asking for input. I need people who are spiritual, who's been alone with God, to be a blessing to me and a help to me. If we haven't been alone with God, we haven't prayed, we haven't studied the Word of God, we haven't been obedient to God, how in the world can we help the pastor make anything? Understand what I'm saying? You see, Daniel here was a man greatly used of God. He was a man whom God could trust. That's why he came and used Daniel for this wonderful way in which he used him, giving him the dream and the interpretation of it. He didn't pick on all of those other ones that had already flew the coop and had already was eating the king's meat and the drinking of the king's wine. He didn't use them. He used Daniel, a man of God who was wise. And in fact, in a portion of scripture that I read to you, I think it's twice in that portion of scripture, he talks about it. It was God that gave him the wisdom. He says, in fact, down there in verse 30, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other living." You know what he was saying? I don't have any wisdom. I don't have all. Don't you think Daniel was a wise person, even physically and concerning the things of the world? He was pretty wise. But what he was saying is this: I don't have the wisdom I need to interpret this dream. God must give it to me. And God did give it to him. And again, I'm simply saying we've got to understand some things. It all revolves around our spiritual life. I want you to go again, and we did this morning for just a short time, but I want you to go again to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, for just a few moments again. We went there this morning and we discussed this a little bit, not spending a whole lot of time on it. But I want you to listen to what he says. You know, there's no doubt whatsoever that God, when he saves us, baptizes us into the family of God, the body of Christ. There's no doubt about that. He does that. There's no doubt about the Holy Spirit of God sealing us until the day of redemption for eternity. The Holy Spirit of God does that. There's no doubt about God anointing us with the Spirit of God so that we'll be used of him. Let me say something to you, folks. So what he says in Ephesians, the verse number 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And what that means is be empty of self. And if you're not clean, you can't be empty of self. And then you got to be willing, but we're to be empty of self. Okay? So be filled. And what he's saying is, let the Holy Spirit of God have complete control over your life. Let him direct you. Let him tell you what to do. And let him give you the power to do those things you're incapable of doing. You need his power to do them. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God every day of your life. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be yielded over to the Spirit of God for your life. Now, in this portion of Scripture, after he's told us that, he gives, and I said this morning, he gives instructions to the wife, to the husband, on down he gives to the children. What he's basically saying is this: it is going to be an impossibility for you to live the right kind of life, to be the right kind of husband, to be the right kind of wife, to be the right kind of child, unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to meet all the obligations. You're not going to be able to do all of those things that's required of you as a husband and as a wife if you're not, filled with the Spirit of God. That's why he says it first of all before he talks about the family. Now, what we need to get back to in family life, we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, we need to be yielded over to the Spirit of God in our life so we'll be the kind of husband God wants us to be. That's a loving, kind husband who loves his wife. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be the right kind of wife that God wants us to be. You can't be the kind of wife you ought to be unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. It's impossible for you to do that, folks. You're doing it on your own. You won't make it. I won't either. We need the Spirit of God controlling our lives. And then all you have to do is go down and see what God says for us to do. We're to love our wives. Wives, you're to submit to your husbands, to the loving, kind leadership of your husband. You want to go to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, you'll find exactly what love is. It explains it. It explains what it is and what it is not. And if you'll just go and read that and follow those scriptures and do exactly what 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter tells us to do, you will have a successful marriage. If you don't, you won't. You know why? Because God said love never faileth. The kind of love he describes in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, it never fails. Because who it is, it's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. Now you say, Brother Austin, I don't know whether I can do all these things. I know you can't without being filled with the Spirit of God. It's an impossibility to be that kind of wife and that kind of husband in the flesh. We just won't make it. We're human beings. But if you yield your life to God, to the Spirit's leading in your life, you can do it. And not only you can do it, you should do it. See, that's the kind of individual. That's the kind of individual that Daniel was. He was a man who was empty of himself. Do you ever think why we spend so much time worrying about what happens to us, and in every argument, every situation, it's always about us? Well, why did you do this to me? It's always about us. It's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about others. It's supposed to be about others. Yes, it is supposed to be about your wife. It's supposed to be about your husband. That's who it's supposed to be about. It ain't supposed to be about you. Amen. Sure. So how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to empty self. And I'm serious when I say this. I'm not funning. That's going to take a lot of work for some folk. To empty self is to die daily to self and your desires, your wants, and you turn it over to God and let him fill you and use you. Let me say something to you. I believe that unfilled Christians is why the home is in such a mess. You see, it's not just, folks, the world whose homes is a mess. Many Christian homes are in a mess today. And God never intended for them to be that way. No. God never intended for them to be that way. God intended for both of us, both husband and wife, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and to yield ourselves to God, and that kind of love will not fail. Amen. Amen. Daniel was an empty, clean, willing vessel. To be a Daniel, you're going to have to be empty, clean, and willing. To be empty means die to self. I've already talked about it. Folks, we've got to empty ourselves and be clean. Right relationship with God. Clean of sin. And willing to be used of God. Now, Daniel in verse number 23, going back to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. He said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Two times in there he speaks of his friends. He was not trying to take the limelight. He said, thank you, God, for letting us know about this. It was Daniel and his three friends that went into a prayer meeting and God revealed this to them. Daniel was the spokesman. And God used Daniel. But I just want to say something here real quick. It's time we quit worrying about who gets the glory. I mentioned a little while, and I did it kind of on purpose in prelude to the sermon, but I mentioned Nicole, who are here, who was a blessing and a help to getting this young lady into church and hear the word of God. It was God that saved her. It wasn't Nicole, but she was used of God. This pastor stands up here, and I'm not going to stand up here and say, Nicole had nothing to do with it. I done it all. I led her to Christ. Foolishness. You want to know the truth? I had very little to do with it. I just preached the word to Nicole, and Nicole believed it and did it, and she brought her, and Cheryl got to lead her to Christ, show her how to be saved, and see how God works? Who cares who gets the glory? Who cares? You see, we're living in a time when we're so worried about getting the honor and the glory upon ourselves. Who cares? It's God ought to receive the glory anyway. Amen? So I'm just trying to say to you, we can't compromise. We can't compromise with brethren. I don't ever want to be a compromiser. Never do I want to be a compromiser. But I want to have enough sense and enough spiritual understanding to love the brethren and realize that God uses people besides myself. God uses you as a people. That's why I'm trying to spend most of my time trying to stir you to let him. Well, I believe with all of my heart, if we'd all turn our hearts and lives over to God, I'd be surprised what God would do here at this place. No, I believe that. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. But we don't, many times, do not turn it over to God. We do not yield ourselves to God. We are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so because of that, he's unable to do what he wants to do in many situations. When you get into church, been preaching close to 34 years. It'll be the first of the year. It'll be 34 years. I do my age the same way. Okay? I'll say, well, it won't be long. I'll be 65. I'm not 65. It'll be 65 next August. But I've been preaching 33 plus years. In the first of the year, I'll be preaching 34 years. Now, the reason I'm saying all this, I've seen a lot. Let me tell you who causes church problems. Now listen to me. Two kinds of people cause church problems. I'm saying you can put them in two categories. Let me put it that way. First of all, lost church members. Lost church members cause problems in churches. They're the mixed multitude. Okay? I think it makes sense, don't it? Person who's not saved is not going to look at things like you do or I do. They're not going to do that, but they're going to stir up trouble because they're of the world. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. They're not going to look at things like you do. The second group of people is carnal Christians. Worldly, carnal Christians who don't give a hoot about being filled with the Spirit of God. Let me say something to you. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, why in the world would you ever want to cause one bit of trouble in the house of God? No, you wouldn't. Not if you're filled with the Spirit of God. You would not want that. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you want to see the work of God go on. You want to see people saved. You want to see it go on smoothly as it should go on. You should have unity in the house of God. And those that are filled with the Spirit of God is going to work for that. But those who are not are carnal, and that means worldly Christians, are not going to work for that. They're going to work to uplift themselves and destroy and hurt in the house of God. Thirty-four years, I can make that statement. That's the way it is. You see, you know, and you see, I don't always know all the things, but you know whether there's people backbiting in behind the preacher or some of the men or some of the ladies' backs in this church. Spirit-filled people do not do that. No way. It's the carnal that do that. See, a spirit-filled person, if there truly was a problem, would come and take care of that problem in the way the Bible says to do it, in a right and kind and gracious way. They would come to those who the problem was with. They wouldn't go to everybody else in the church and try to spread it. That's carnality. Amen? Now, is that good preaching? Do you understand what I'm saying? What we need is a church full of Spirit-filled Christians who have yielded their lives over to God, and they want to see the work of God go on, and it's more important than them. So you just mark it down, okay? You see this old finger? Huh? You remember the next time someone comes to you and starts griping and telling negative things and bringing up negative things in the church, mark it down. They're not Spirit-filled or they wouldn't be doing it. Mark it down. Mark it down. Amen? Your mind may be going to someone right now who's been spreading negative things in the church. That wasn't a Spirit-filled person who did it. I mean, amen? You don't think that a Spirit-filled Christian would do that, do you? Do you? I mean, do you think a Spirit-filled Christian would bring negative and try to bring up strife and trouble in the church? Do you believe a Spirit-filled Christian would do that? Of course not. Amen? So what I'm simply saying to you, the two main problems that we have is lost church members and carnal Christians, worldly Christians. Both of those can be solved. The lost can get saved, and the carnal Christian can become spiritual, be filled with the Spirit of God. Romans 12th chapter. Romans. Verse number 9 says this. Let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Did you notice he talks about that you're not to cleave to evil, but to that which is good? When evil comes our way for a person who's a Spirit-filled Christian, who's yielded over to the Spirit of God, we'll not take this evil stuff and carry it on and we'll not be a part of it. No, they won't. You know why? They know it'll hurt the work of God. No, they'll cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. You know, we've got a lot of different people in this church and different personalities, different kinds of jobs that they hold, just different people. But you know what? God says we're to love one another. You know that all of them's not going to be a clone of you? And they're not going to look at everything just as you do. I'm not talking about biblical scriptural principles. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they're just not going to look at everything like you do. Don't you know it's our responsibility, God said, just to love each other? You know one of the greatest things we can do for this church is just love each other, care about one another? I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about just loving one another. Respecting one another, caring about who they are, how God's using them. Amen? And he goes on and he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, there's going to be times when, boy, there's going to be great rejoicing. John Reiser told me here a while back he's going to get a garage. He said Lynette, when she came along, was his garage. That's where the money went. But he was telling me that he was going to get a garage, and I'm serious about this. My heart just kind of leaped, and I said, John, I'm so glad for you. I really am. I'm so thankful. And he told me this morning they got the, floor poured for his garage. I'm glad, Brother John. You know what? It's been a lot of years. That's not been something he's been out here putting ahead of other things. I don't know. I don't want to tell how old he is, but He's now getting a garage. I think it's wonderful. I rejoice with you. There's people, and Mrs. Alley, I hope you won't mind, but people who just lost a very special person in their life. Brother Alley, not too long ago. And Mary also, we'll see Mary or not, but Mary also, Mary Chester, lost someone very special to them. Are we not to weep with them? Are we not to feel their grief and understand it's tough, it's hard? Are we not to do that? Yes, I believe we are. Amen. So we can rejoice with folk and we can weep with folk. That's what he says to do. And he says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's what Daniel was talking about. I don't have the wisdom in my own life to handle all of this, folks. And you don't either. No, not wisdom that you have obtained. You can't do it. You need the wisdom of God. You need God's wisdom. And the way you get God's wisdom is, again, let the Holy Spirit of God control your life. Every day of your life. That's where wisdom comes from. It comes from God. Going back to Daniel just for a few moments. Second chapter, verse 24. Notice he said, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Notice what he said, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. You know, there was no revenge in Daniel's life. Did you notice? And these were the false prophets he was talking about that was going to be destroyed. We might come up and say, hey, they're going to be destroyed. Good. That's a great thing. Let them go ahead and slay them. Daniel said, don't let them be destroyed. Daniel had a heart for God. It's kind of like Jesus said to some of his disciples when they said, let's call down fire out of heaven and let's destroy them that's against us. Oh, he said, I didn't come to destroy. Come to save. Amen. There might be some of those Chaldeans. There might be some of them sorcerers might turn to God. Who knows? After Daniel's great testimony. Notice in verse number 25, he said, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and thus said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Arioch here, if you try to understand him, he was a worldly person. He was not a godly person. He was wanting the favor of the king. So he rushed in and said, I found someone who can tell you the interpretation, tell you the dream, tell you the interpretation of that dream. He was wanting to get on the good side of the king. Now, folks, I want to say something to you. We don't need on the good side of the world. I want to be on the good side of God. I want to be where Daniel was, just minding God. You see, a lot of folk are so worried that they don't have the favor of the world. They spend most of their life and most of their time getting people to try to love them instead of just loving God and letting God handle all that things. I'm not saying we ought to be wrong and try to be a mean person. I'm just simply saying I'm not after the world's favor. I'm after God's favor. That's who I'm interested in. I'd like to just end the message this evening by saying one more little principle. We, a lot of times, fail the world. We're failing the world. You know why? We're acting just like them. No, we're acting just like the world acts. The Christian world today wants to dress like the world dresses. What is the world going to see in that? They're not going to see any different. The Christian world today wants the same music that the world has. They're not going to see any difference. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to be different. You know what the world's doing? You know what Christians are doing today? They're handling their finances exactly the way the world handles it. Multitudes of Christians today are in debt up to their... That's the way the world does. Do you ever think it'd be a good thing if we'd just do things in such a way that it would show God helping us to get something done? That God is able to take care of our needs? And the world would see God doing that for us? You know what the problem is there? The problem is we want too much, and we're not satisfied what God's willing to give us. So we want more and more and more and more, so we go to the world to get it. Amen? I'm just saying to you folks, we got to get back to the old-fashioned Christian living, Bible living, loving God, and quit trusting in this old world for everything. Daniel was a man here who loved God, walked with God. He was empty, he was clean, and he was willing to be used of God. I'm just saying to you folks, you want wisdom? You want to walk in wisdom? Do you just want to walk in wisdom? Well, you're going to have to get it from God. You're going to have to get God's wisdom. This old world don't have it. Amen. You want to have a good family life? Do it God's way. I didn't say one of you. I said both of you. Do it God's way. Read 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. I say that to every couple that I ever counsel with. You read it, you study it, and you mind it. Men, you don't have any right to lord over your authority over your wife. You are to be a loving leader of your family. And wife, you don't have any right whatsoever to not submit to your husband's loving leadership. For the Word of God has told you to do so. Amen. If you'll do it God's way, you'll find a sweet relationship. I'm serious. I know it's tough. I know all those things. It's a fight. It's a battle. I'm just telling you, do it God's way. And that comes from wisdom, being filled with the Spirit of God, because you're not going to be able to be the wife and the husband. You're not going to be able to be the church member. You're not going to be able to be the teacher. You're not going to be able to be anything for God that you need to be if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, because He's the one that gives you the power to do it. And only He can. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your mercy, your love. And oh God, we need your wisdom. Help us to be like Daniel, Father. Help us to be empty of self. Help us to be clean. And help us, Father, to be willing to be used of you. Once again, I ask you just do the work that needs to be done here in our lives tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.